Welcome to the BSDcast with your host, Jason Lumberg with Power Systems Design. Now, as AI explodes in popularity, the power demands for the data centers that train and power the AI is also growing at an exponential pace. At present, global power usage by data centers is around 55 gigawatts, and by 2030, AI could consume 35 to 50% of total data center power. That spurred federal and state governments, plus tech giants and the industry at large, take another look at alternative energy sources, specifically nuclear power. And on the line to discuss that is Derek Matthews, Chief Strategy Officer and Electrical Architect for BaRupOn. So Derek, thanks for joining us. And can you tell us a little bit about BaRupOn? What's their stake in AI data centers?
Absolutely. Thanks, Jason, for having me on today. Well, BaRupOn started out as manufacturers and industrialists, and we were awarded a large contract from the federal government's Health and Human Services. So when we set out to build this facility, much like data centers, we ran into a major power wall. They were telling us that we wouldn't be able to connect to the grid until 2030, and the government was telling us we had to have this facility complete and out the door in 2026. So those two goals really didn't line up. And my experience was building out large electrical infrastructure. And so I took a look at this. I said, okay, why don't we run our own gas pipeline to this and become our own power providers? And this was before anyone else had even considered doing it, right? We weren't looking at the data center again. We were looking at it just to run a chemical facility for the government. And so that's exactly what we did. We have a gas pipeline inbound to provide about our initial 300 megawatts of behind the meter power. And our first 80,000 square foot building is going vertical right now. And those two are going to intersect around October, November of this year. And as we were doing that, we've really started to learn what makes this AI data center game important. As you start to talk to the hyperscalers, they are looking at 10,000 different things. Everyone else is looking at a large plot of land, like, oh, this is a great data center. And the hyperscalers are saying to themselves, how far is it from the ocean? What's your grid connection time? What's your gas situation? What's the geotechnical situation there? What's the fiber situation? What's the community backlash going to be like? And when you put all of those together, you really start to understand that this is a very challenging market and a very challenging industry that is evolving every single day right now.
Right. And why are the default energy solutions for AI data centers and infrastructure running into problems?
Well, I think that's an easy question to answer once you've been doing this for a minute. Like any new industry, there's hiccups, right? You have a learning curve when you're trying to find these gigawatt sites. When Fermi IPO'd, a few months back, a lot of people got inspiration to go out there and make decks if they had any land near a pipeline. And so what happened is, yes, these AI data center groups are desperate for power. That's obvious. The problem is they don't know what's real and what's not real out there. And it takes time to run down and vet these sites that are actually impractical, not reality. But it takes a lot of time to figure that out. And so by the time they actually get through this, deck of 10,000 deep to two or three sites in the country that are actually real sites, a year has gone by. And so this power game is as much as a restraint as it is, I think, confusion about where these sites actually exist.
All right. And why specifically then is the industry increasingly looking towards nuclear energy to solve the AI infrastructure issues?
Well, I think that nuclear is the only viable pathway to large-scale data centers, and it's for several reasons. I love solar, I love wind, I love the renewables. Problem is that they take thousands of acres of land to make it viable for a data center. When a data center might only have 500 acres, you can't really use renewables there. The grid, with the community backlash, continues to be farther and farther away, and it may be impossible altogether. And so there's not gas everywhere in the country. It's not like Texas or Pennsylvania where there's gas available everywhere. So what do we do next? What do we do to stay in this race to make sure that we have enough energy to feed our models? I see the only pathway forward is nuclear. It truly gives us sovereignty over our entire power ecosystem. And that's really what BaRupOn is initiating right now, is we are trying to use this energy revolution to change the way energy is used. For 150 years, it has been generation, transformation, and whatever end product that we're using. There are so many things that we can use in between those three things to make energy significantly more efficient, and that's what we're experimenting with right now. Kinetic energy storage systems, nuclear power, gas turbines, right? How do all of these fit into a complex ecosystem to feed that power? And so nuclear is the backbone, because where else on, let's say, 40 acres of land can you put a gigawatt of power, right? Without gas or without any other need for anything else. Complete sovereignty over your power.
Of course, and we've spoken before with NanoNuclear regarding their microreactors. So could you briefly describe your collaboration with them and the feasibility study?
Absolutely. So Nano is, in our opinion, one of the most dynamic of these MMR companies out there. I guess there's probably about a dozen groups that are vying for this space. And what makes Nano really unique is the fact that they are very vertically and horizontally integrated across this ecosystem, meaning that they manufacture their own reactor. They are creating their own uranium. They are mining their own uranium. All of the components that we need are within their ecosystem. So instead of concerning ourselves with every part of it, working with a group like Nano has enabled us to really enter the nuclear space in a professional way, so much so that we've hired out a nuclear staff on our team, and we've started to research nuclear reactors and the implementation of those on our site.
All right, Derek, and before I let you go, what's the driving focus of your Liberty, Texas campus, and how does it tie in with your overall goals?
Liberty, Texas, I think, is going to be a benchmark on how these gigawatt sites are created. It has to be a welcome addition to any community. And so Liberty is 700 acres. It is part manufacturing, right, which creates a lot of jobs and brings a lot of taxes to the community, which they are very, very grateful for, as well as it gives us the opportunity to build out a data center complex mixed inside of a commercial ecosystem so that the community is winning. And so what we really try to do is not touch the grid, not draw any power from the grid, not take any water from the ground, and so that we can be in complete harmony with the community and just bring value to them, right? And so our community down there has been a pleasure to work with. We have gone out of our way to do multiple town halls to educate them on all of the different processes and products that we're going to bring to their community. And I think that when people start to recognize that data centers can actually be a very positive influence on their environment and that they are the catalyst for the energy revolution, I think hopefully we can start to turn this misunderstanding about data centers.
Sounds good, Derek. I want to thank you for your time. And to our audience, thanks for tuning in and have a great day.